Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a vision for you big book study. My name is Lynn S. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater in Toronto, Canada. Today is Friday, September the 27th, 2024, and we're continuing our study of the big book in the chapter We Agnostic. We're on page 49, the second paragraph. We who have traveled this dubious path. And we're reading through that one paragraph ending with, we should have sought ourselves. Today's readers are the 12 steps, Tenzin P, 12 traditions, Sue M, and readers of our text, Janet B, Anne Marie M, and Marge O. The share ID for yesterday, Thursday, September the 26th, the 7 a.m. meeting is 217. 78 and the 10 a.m. meeting 21779. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And Tenzin P is going to read our 12 steps. Good morning, Tenzin.
Good morning, Min. Good morning, everyone. Tenzin P checking in from New York. And here are our 12 steps, which the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. Number one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive eaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you very much. Wishing everyone a blessed day.
Thank you, Tenzin P. And Sue M. will be reading our 12 traditions. Good morning, Sue.
Good morning, everyone. It's Sue M., a compulsive overeater in Ohio. So our 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends on OA unity. Two, for a group purpose, there's but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants, they do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous, affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks.
Thank you, Sue M. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics, paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book. We're in the chapter We Agnostics. On page 49, the second paragraph, We Who Have Traveled This Dubious Path. And we will be reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. Janet B., would you like to get us started, please?
I sure would. Good morning, Lynn. Good morning, everyone. This is Janet B., recovered compulsive eater in North Carolina. We, who have traveled this dubious path, beg you to lay aside prejudice, even against organized religion. We have learned that whatever the human frailties of various faiths may be, those faiths have given purpose and direction to millions. People of faith have a logical idea of what life is all about. Actually, we used to have no reasonable conception whatever. We used to amuse ourselves by cynically dissecting spiritual beliefs and practices when we might have observed that many spiritually minded persons of all races, colors, and creeds were demonstrating a degree of stability, happiness, and usefulness which we should have sought ourselves. Hey, so it looks like we really have two options. We can be cynical, or we can be people of faith. So what does it mean to be cynical? It means like we're bitterly or sneeringly distrustful here, right, about God. Like we're cynical, we're bitter, we're distrusting, we're sneering. And why are we usually like that? You know, I think it's because we think God isn't fair to us, that God isn't going to do right by us. You know, we look at this world, you know, war, poverty, people starving, and then we look even closer, right? And that's usually what it is. It's about what's happening to me, to my family, to my life. Why does this relative have cancer? Why do I have this illness? Why that? There can't be a God, or if there is, he's no good. But I think when we're doing that, we are really unfair to God, right? Like, Who of us wakes up in the morning and says, I'm not blind, I'm not crippled, I have enough heat in the winter, air conditioning in the summer, I don't have to worry each day about how I'm going to feed my family. And then we say, God is really unfair. How come I have all these blessings? Well, there's so many people in this world who don't even have that. We don't do that, right? God's only unfair when he doesn't do stuff for us. Or when, you know, we say, how come God hasn't removed my food obsession? Well, for me, I know God didn't remove my food obsession because I treated him like a genie, right? God, come out of your bottle, take away my food obsession, make me stop binging, then go back in your bottle and leave me alone and don't ask me to do anything for you. But that's not the other option. The other option is to be a person of faith. And it says people of faith have a logical idea of what life is all about. Well, okay, what is life all about? And I think it's answered so beautifully in the paragraph that was read yesterday. We're supposed to regard ourselves as intelligent agents, spearheads of God's ever-advancing creation. That means God didn't just create the world in 6 days and sit back and say no more. He's still creating. What's he doing? I believe that he's recreating addicts, that he's recreating compulsive eaters like us. And we get to be his agents, joining him in this work, in his like search and rescue mission for compulsive eaters. But just like I have a job, and if my boss gives me something to do, if I'm his agent, he gives me everything I need to do it. And so will God. So that means if I'm a person of faith and make a decision to be God's agent, he will remove my food obsession. He will remove my selfishness. He'll remove all the things that get in the way of me helping him. So really, I see those are two options. Me to be cynical and say God's not fair, which really is unfair to God, or for me to be a person of faith who has an idea of what life is all about and a great sense of purpose. And for me, I choose door number two. And with that, I pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Janet B., for getting us started. The line is now open for sharing on what we just read. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day so that others may share their experience too. So if you shared Wednesday or Thursday, please step back and let others have their turn. And please say your name just once. It does help me hear everybody. Who would like to share?
Margaret B., Georgia.
Ellie F.
Reva P.
Nick F. in Tennessee.
Okay, let me tell you who I heard. Margaret D., Kelly EYS, Reva P., and Nick F. Did I miss anybody?
Matthew G.
Got you. Anyone else?
Pedro B.
Okay, great. Thank you, Pedro. Here we go. Our lineup is Margaret D., Kelly EYS, Reva P., Nick F., Matthew G., Pedro B., and Hannah Yetta. Okay, Margaret D., please go ahead. Welcome.
Thanks, Lynn. Hey, everybody. My name is Margaret D. I'm in Georgia. And I used to have, well, actually, I probably still do some very, very set ideas that from doing the 11th step are being changed, you know, from doing working with others are from being changed, and just from having conscious contact with the God of my understanding are being changed. And one of the biggest, I guess the psychic change that has I just am in awe of it, this particular change, is just the knowledge that, and it's actually, you know what, I don't think it's even the knowledge. It's, I mean, it is, but it's more like a decision that was broached to me when I started to study the big book, and it was very simple. God is either everything or he's nothing. And so before I got into becoming a full blossomed out addict or compulsive eater or, you know, whatever. And I've got more than one little thing going on here. But before that happened, I used to be on, you know, like when I was a little kid, I used to be on a great set of terms with my higher power. And then as different things happened, I think the book talks about what gets us away from our higher powers, like maybe adversity or pomp or different circumstances or whatever. But so I went through mine and I began thinking, as our first speaker was saying, God's not being fair. Why doesn't God do this? Why doesn't God do that? Why doesn't, you know, when originally, as a very young child, I was just mesmerized by absolutely everything that was going on, the softness of a butterfly's wing, watching wild rabbits hop around in the snow during the winter, maybe seeing flowers bud out, and there was no separation at all. It was just this consciousness that, you know what, it was just a delight in everything. So then the addiction progressed. And through the wonders of working the steps, I'm getting back to the position that God is either everything or is nothing. And that has changed my whole life. I take the attitude now that God is absolutely everything. So when something happens, it's not, why did God do this to me, or why isn't God supporting me, or whatever. And I'll just wrap it up with this, thank you, Lynn, that everything that happens is a challenge now to get to know my higher power better and to understand how much my higher power loves me, that he's given me this new challenge to grow in understanding and love. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Margaret D. from Georgia. Next up is Kelly EYS, followed by Reva P. Hi, Kelly.
Hi, Lynn. So glad to hear you. And it is Kelly EYS, recovered compulsive eater and bulimic from Tulsa, Oklahoma. Grateful to be on the lines. I am always grateful to be on the lines. Anyway, so here's one of the places where we get our set-aside prayer. You know, we beg of you to lay aside prejudice, you know, lay aside my prejudice. So there's a beginning right there. I got to get out of my way. I just want to, there's so much in this paragraph. So the very last sentence, you know, these people were demonstrating a degree of stability, happiness, and usefulness, which we should have sought ourselves. I don't know about you guys, but I was not seeking that when I came in these rooms, right? I was seeking weight loss and control of my food. And, you know, then even in the room, a good food plan or a good sponsor. And, you know, and none of that worked. You know, I never got the recovery that I would hear on the lines or read in the book. None of the promises were coming true for me. And I was always going back to food and always going back to food. And then, you know, I started listening to Vision for You, and I started seeing and listening to people who had recovered and had all these promises. And they were demonstrating this degree of stability, happiness, and usefulness, right? And I was seeing them have the neutrality with food and doing life and showing up. And I'm like, well, you know, what is the solution? Guess what? It's not a good food plan or a good sponsor. It's God. It's God. And this book is saying this over and over and over. And I wasn't seeking God. And I remember my sponsor of my last relapse said, Kelly, something's got to change. You've got to change. Well, I don't know how to do that. You know, that's why we do this work. That's why I have to put the food down and do the steps so I can get this connectionship with God so that I can have this stability, this happiness, this usefulness. And then God gives me that ability to keep the food down. God gives me that neutrality and gives me that freedom. You know, I have to take the action and do my part with the food, but God gives me neutrality. And then I have to work these steps, and I have to show up for people, and I have to be different. And God gives me the ability to do that. God changes my heart. So I was seeking the wrong things. I was seeking for decades in these rooms a better food plan, a better meeting, a better workshop, a better sponsor. But guess what, guys? The people who have everything I want, neutrality with food, and they're living life and they're being useful and they're happy and they're stable. What in the world is stability, right? I've never been stable. I'm an addict. I'm all over the freaking place. But guess what they have? A relationship with God. And that is the solution today. So how do we get there? Put the food down. Listen to the instructions. Follow the instructions in this book, right? Work these steps. Get this connection. And God's going to give you all those things that you've been seeking that should have sought ourselves, should have sought myself. And today I'm living in that degree of stability, happiness, and usefulness that I never thought I would have. And with that, I pass. Thanks, Lynn.
Thank you, Kelly EYS from Oklahoma. Now we have Reva P followed by Nick S. Hi, Reva.
Hi, Lynn. Good morning. This is Reva P, grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Toronto. So I've had all these chapters convincing me that I have an allergy of the body, an obsession of the mind, and I am what the big book says is insane. And then it tells me that a higher power, I came to believe that a higher power will restore me to sanity. And the page before is asking, you know, when I resist, why should I believe? Why? I don't want to do this. And I can have all kinds of debates. And here it's telling me why. And they're begging me, if I have any doubts and resistance, to lay aside all my prejudice, because observe the people in whom the problem has been solved. Powers of example. I have visual proof. You know, it talked about electricity and the prosaic grid and all that stuff. You can't see it. But I could see in front of my face demonstrations of this working. I see people who are abstinent. I see people who have all kinds of life challenges when things don't go their way, and they are stable, serene, and peaceful and sane. So, you know, what is my choice to be? So for me, that was the clincher. I saw people who had purpose and had a lot of stability, happiness, and usefulness in their lives. They were demonstrating it. They were living it, not just talking, but living it. So my job is to observe, demonstrate, and seek. Seek daily. And you know, it's easy for me in my addict mind to give myself all the evidence of how God is not going to help, how I can be agnostic in this area of life or that area of life. And this is telling me, even when I can't see for myself, when I can't see how things are going to turn out in the future, to observe others who have gone before me into their unknowns and their uncertainty. And they come out okay. And okay doesn't mean that God has a magic wand and changes the externals. It means that internally, I am okay, irregardless of what's going on around me. And I love this reminder because I'm having lots of challenges right now. And there's only two ways. Either I trust or I don't. And when I don't, the food can get louder. So what is my choice to be? With that, I pass.
Thank you, Reva P. from Toronto, Canada. Now we have Nick F. followed by Matthew G. Good morning, Nick.
Hey, good morning, family. It's Nick F. in Tennessee. Can I be heard?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, I apologize if there's any background noise, and I'm walking my son's third dog this morning, and, God is good. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, recovered alcoholic today, by the grace of God and nobody but God. And I was able to take a walk this morning, and it's raining out here. And my partner wrote a song and said, when you're in love, even the rain is sweet. And, you know, if the rain isn't sweet for you today, and it wasn't sweet for me always, what the book said, I beg of you to lay aside any prejudice. And in the kind of life that I'm living today, I don't do much begging, but if I got a fellow or a friend or family today that's stealing the food, I beg of you to lay aside, to set it aside for an open mind and a new experience, because I just, you know, my God is just so good. I can't even get it out. Like, I've been isolated. I've been abandoned. I've been traumatized. I've been sick and shut in, and I work these steps with a sponsor as many times as I need to, and I'm real excited. I'm right on the brink of where I feel comfortable that I can be of true service to somebody and get ready to sponsor and set boundaries on time and have all these new and exciting challenges. I beg you to lay it aside, because I was over 400 pounds and I'm 5'6", and I wasn't bathing, and I'm looking forward to a shower today. Like, my entire life has changed. God is good. And those kids that I lost in my alcoholic addiction, you know, God has given me the ability to raise them these last two and a half years during this 3.5-year abstinence. And so my son today, I'm walking his service dog because he's going to sign on with the Marines. And I'm not so concerned about arguing, should he join, should he not join. All my business is today is really what I'm going to put in my mouth and what's going to come out my mouth. That's about all that I can give to God today. And God has blessed me tremendously. I set it all aside, and he's given me more than I could ever ask for. And so with that, I'll pass. Thank you, my friends and family.
Thank you, Nick F. from Tennessee. Now it's Matthew G., followed by Pedro B. Good morning, Matthew, and where are you calling from, please?
Good morning. I'm calling from Paris, France, and my name is Matthew G., and I'm a recovered compulsive eater, and I am so grateful for a vision for you in this meeting and all of you, all the shares, always so awesome. 2.5 years now, I'm just so grateful to have recovered thanks to you guys, and the way we work this book is just so incredible, this meeting, this intricate big book study where we study the good orderly direction of these miraculous steps that can lead us all to a spiritual transformation. This is my favorite chapter in the book, and these pages right here, I'm just buzzing with excitement. It's just, for me, it's just really speaks to me so great. I don't know, it just feels like spirituality for dummies, well, at least for this dummy here. It's easy for me when I read these words to lay aside any kind of prejudice I had, any kind of wanting to run the show that I might, you know, still try to be doing, and be open to allowing God and to follow the best of my ability, the good orderly direction of the steps, and to practice them, because it is a practical program of action. You know, it's not just a theory. We have to try to live it and carry the message the best we can, which I'm desperately trying to do right now. I just love the whole idea of having purpose and direction in my life now, you know, and I do, and I'm grateful for it, you know, and I'm grateful that, I'm able to demonstrate a degree of stability and definitely happiness and hopefully useful. It's just so beautiful. I'm so grateful to be free of this merciless obsession. And it's so much thanks to you all and this amazing, amazing, amazing God I'm discovering a little bit more and getting to know a little bit more every day. Love to all and have a beautiful day. I pass.
Thank you, Matthew G. from Paris. Now it's Pedro B., followed by Hannah Yetta R. Good morning, Pedro, and where are you calling from, sir?
Good morning. I'm Pedro B. from California, San Bernardino, California. Can I be heard?
Yes, thank you.
All right, well, thank you. Thank you for your service. Thank everybody for being here. I feel very grateful and happy to be abstinent at this moment. I'm working on getting one day of abstinent today. You know, that's all I need, is one day. This is one more time, day 23 for me, and this is happened to me was that I went to a meeting with my sponsor with 0 days. And I said, can you give me one suggestion? He says, why don't you get one day of abstinence? And today I got 23 days together, and I'm very happy and very grateful for that. In the reading this morning, it's interesting that I was got up and thinking about the path. And that's the first thing they mentioned. We who have traveled this dubious path, and they bringing this life to life to today is what is important to me, you know, because for me this is a 24-hour day program, right? I'm abstinent at the moment. My goal is to stay abstinent today. If I do that, I'm 100% successful in OA, right? One day of abstinence. And it really caught my attention that, you know, it talks about spiritual-minded person of all races, cultures, and greed have demonstrated a degree of stability, happiness, youthfulness, which we should have. It's like, this is what I should be seeking. This is the way I should live, right? To have stability, to be happy, to be useful. That's the purpose, you know, that's a life worth living. You know, laying down here in my bed, watching TV, eating and taking a shower and sleeping is not a healthy life, you know. A long time ago in another program, my sponsor had me look up the word recovery, and what he said was return to good health. This is what I'm doing here. I'm trying to live a healthy life in all areas, right? So I'm very grateful. I'm very happy to be abstinent at the moment and to be working on staying abstinent today. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Pedro B. from California. And now we have Hannah Yetta R. Good morning, Hannah Yetta.
Good morning, Lynn. Thank you for your service. Wow. I'm following some awesome shares. You know, I've loved what the person who started, I don't know who it was, but this person who started Store 1 or Store 2. I can either be cynical or I can have, I'm going to read it, demonstrate a degree of stability, happiness, and usefulness. Whoa, I like that one better. I think I'll choose Store 2. I want to be the person who is happy, useful person. I live in chronic pain, and many years ago, I think it was in 2000, and I was walking from one class to another. I'm a substitute teacher, and I was walking from one class to another, and all of a sudden, I was in such pain. I said, God, please just take away my pain. And all of a sudden, it was like, oh no, oh my God. Don't take away my pain, because then you could make me a person who had was paralyzed from the neck down. I would have no pain, but I could not move. So I said, no. And please help me accept my pain. Please help me live with my pain. Help me be happy with my pain. And from then on, I decided I could either be a really happy, hurting person, or I could be a real cynical person and be crabby and angry all the time. And I chose door two. Again, I chose that door to be happy and healthy. Not healthy, but happy with my pain. And that's how I work this program. I can be happy with who I am. I love who I am. When I first started the program, I was in a place, I moved from Missouri to Kentucky, and I didn't know anyone. And I'm not going to go into the whole story because I won't have enough time. But I put an ad in the newspaper that said, are you 50 pounds or more overweight and still eating? And somebody called me and they took me to my first OA meeting. And I got into that OA meeting and I was at home. I knew I was at home because I came into there to find people that could relate to me and I could relate to. And when it said that God could restore me to sanity, I was like, oh, thank you, because I knew I was totally insane. I was so insane. Nobody ate like I did. Nobody did what I did. I was insane in so many areas. But then I had the problem. It was like, oh, wait a minute. I don't think I'm good enough, worthy enough, or righteous enough to have God even want to help me to become sane. So my life is a total miracle because he did then and he is still today.
Time, please.
Insanity one day at a time. Thank you. Remember, don't quit 5 minutes before the miracle. It's there for you. Keep coming back. Thank you, Lynn. Thank you, everybody. I pass.
Thank you, Hannah Yetta R., and I believe that she is from Texas. Anyway, for those of you who might have come on the line a little bit later this morning, we are continuing our study of the book in the chapter We Agnostics, page 49, the second paragraph, We Who Have Traveled This Dubious Path. The line is now open for sharing on what we just read, and although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day so that others may share their experience too. So if you shared Wednesday or Thursday, please step back and let others have their turn. And please say your name just once. It does help me hear everybody. Who would like to share?
Kaya.
Anne Marie.
Ruben H. Israel.
Ken W. H.
Okay, let me tell you who I did hear. I heard Kaya, Anne Marie M., Reuben H., and Ken W. H. Did I miss anybody?
Kelsey R.
Gotcha.
Jordan L.
Okay, let's stop there just to make sure we've got time for everybody. We've got Kia, Anne Marie M., Reuben H., Ken W. H., Kelsey R., and Jordan L. Good morning, Kia. Could you just tell us where you're calling from, please, and welcome.
Sure. Thank you. It's Kaya, and I'm in New Jersey Eastern. And I heard different people share on which of the 12 steps is most important to them. Obviously, they're all extremely important. And it seems to me that to Bob Wilson, the most important step was step 12, because he says how when all else failed, work with another alcoholic, save the day. And for me, lately I've been thinking that step one for sure, because if I don't, I have to feel powerless, and that only program will help me. But I think my most important step is step three, turning my will and my life over to the care of God, and surrendering to God. Really accepting everything good is from everything happening to me is the best that it could be, because my Creator, who's the most powerful being in the world, everything is for my best. Nothing happens to me. Everything happens for me. And when I turn my will and my life over to God, and I really acknowledge that and surrender to God, then I have like a strong connection with God. And I've noticed sometimes like I'll get a craving, and I know, like, if I start to have a craving, it's because I'm lacking in step three. My commitment to God has to be 100%. As human beings, our actions are never going to be perfect, but the commitment has to be 100%. And I see step three as my commitment to surrendering to God and trusting that everything is perfect. Everything in my life is perfect coming from God. And it's very powerful for me, continuing to surrender, because I do have a tendency to take back the control, to feel like I know better, like I sort of want to give God advice. You know, just do this for me, or just like I ran out of gas on my way home. Like, just don't, like, I shouldn't run out of gas, you know, in my car. As different things happen, you know, this should, this shouldn't, and that's not step three. If I think I know better, if I'm giving advice, then I'm not working step three. And step three is the opposite of me giving advice. It's me surrendering. God knows best. It's me trusting and me praying and asking God to take my character defects. So, which a big one of one of the big ones is control, like wanting to control what's going on in my life and surrendering it to God. And it's so sweet when I do that. I feel so happy and such a great life. And then the cravings go away when I do that. And sometimes I have to do it many times a day. You know, I notice I'm taking the control and
time, yeah. Please.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Kaya, and I believe she's from New Jersey. Next up, we have Anne. Thank you. Next up, we have Anne Marie M, followed by Reuben H. Good morning, Anne Marie.
Good morning, Lynn. Thank you. This is Anne Marie M. In South Carolina, recovered through God's grace and by doing the work in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. And, you know, what caught my eye was that the second half of the first sentence, well, we have traveled this dubious path, this uncertain, questionable path, beg you to lay aside prejudice. And then even against organized religion. And I am right now in the process of leaving my church, or I am stepping aside and looking for a different religious organization, and maybe not a religious organization, but a more spiritual organization. And I am just grateful that I don't have any prejudice against any religion, and that is through God's grace. That is through me working through the steps in this book, because I thought I knew everything before, and I really believed with all my heart that my religion, the only way that anybody, that anyone could get to God. And it's so, that's so untrue. And back on page 46, I love that it says that they found that God does not make too hard terms with those who seek him. To us, the realm of the spirit is broad, roomy, all-inclusive, never exclusive or forbidding. And I'm grateful I'm at that place. I used to, the sentence here, we used to amuse ourselves by cynically dissecting spiritual beliefs and practices. And so I remember with other people of my faith or my religion, bad-mouthing or putting down other religions, and they're not doing it right. And I don't feel that way anymore. And talked about, you know, God changing their heart, and I know that God has changed my heart, and I'm just so very grateful. And the set-aside prayer, someone had mentioned that this is one of the places, there's a couple of places in this chapter where I think the set-aside prayer came from, and to lay aside prejudice. So I'm grateful. That's all I want to say. Thank you.
Thank you, Anne Marie M. Now we have Reuben H. and followed by Ken W.H. Good morning, Reuben.
Good morning. Excuse my voice. I have a bad it's a medical problem. Thank you, Janet, for a wonderful opening. Really appreciated what you said. And everybody share, really. It's a real powerful, great meeting. You know, when I identify with this paragraph, I'm not going to be able to say all of it because there's so many things just in this one paragraph. But I just always refer back that in this book on page 45, its main objective is enable you to find a power greater than yourself, which will solve your problem. And then it says, this is why we written this book. And we believe to be spiritual as well as moral, and we are going to talk about God. So here's difficulty with arising with agnostics. I know I've heard before that, you know, there are different ways that I could look at being agnostic. And one thing is that that I'm identifying with it as I've gone in and out of actually truly believing in a power greater than myself, and through, I believe, actually God, because the way my conception of God is, or my life as a spiritual being, is I'm supposed to have obstacles to be seeking my connection with God on a daily basis. So the fact that I've had obstacles over the years, to me, is what I'm supposed to have. And if I didn't, then probably I'm not really doing the right thing. I'm also identifying in this way with this paragraph because much earlier in my recovery, years ago, I was in a fellowship where we were talking about doing a 12-step workshop. And the person at the 12-step workshop said, I think we should call it We Came to Believe. And there I was, now having become, which I wasn't born, an observant person in my Jewish faith. And I said, it sounds too religious to me, came to believe. And today I look at that and I say, where the heck was I? I was in a part of my journey. And my connection with God, and when it said here something about lay aside prejudice and human frailties of various states, well,
time
more
please.
For me, not it's just ending. It's not the human frailty of the faith, but the human frailty of my not wanting to have a higher power and being God. Thank you for letting me share. I'm grateful that you recovered today. Thank you.
Thank you, Reuben H. in Israel. Now we have Ken W.H., followed by Kelsey R. Good morning, Ken, and where are you calling from, please?
Good morning. This is Ken W.H., recovered compulsive overeater from North Carolina. Thank you. I don't even know where to start sometimes in this section of the book, but the dubious path of relying on human intelligence, that's what the dubious path is. And I relied on mine most of my life. I thought I was pretty witty and smart and could reason things out. And it got me into recovery programs and the need for them. That was my dubious path of relying on my own intelligence. And I have had to let go of so much of that, so much of the cynicism that I had about a whole lot of things and that life wasn't what it was supposed to be. And I think that's really the key for me, is to let that go. That's past. That's not who I am today. That's not what my life is today. I don't have to keep scraping up what didn't go right. I don't have to keep scraping up what I used to think about people of faith or or even myself, this relationship to faith and God and all those things. Just need to let it all go. Letting go is not the easiest thing in the world for me. But it's absolutely critical, and that's what the first step is about. And I believe that's where this whole discussion about powers greater than myself begins. If I don't have the first step in my heart, if I don't believe to the depths of my toes that I am powerless over food on my own, then I don't have a chance. The rest of the discussion about God or anything else is irrelevant if I do not believe that absolutely and completely. That's where it begins. There is no God for me if I have power. I'm it. So letting go is hard, and it's like hanging on that tree limb, hanging over the cliff, and looking up, and somebody said, let go. And I know the story of, well, the ledge was only 6 inches below me, and it caught me, and it was the way God is. Well, God isn't that way. I had to know that when I let go, whether there was a ledge there or not, God was. That a power greater than myself that had pulled me out of the depths of my addiction, that God was there regardless of whether or not there was a ledge. And that's letting go. And that's hard, very, very hard. And that's, for me, is what faith is, ultimately. That when I let go, God is there for me. And whatever I have
I'm
to let
safe.
Go of. Thank you, pass.
Thank you, Ken W.H. from North Carolina. And now we have Kelsey R., followed by Jordan L. Good morning, Kelsey.
Hey, good morning, everyone. This is Kelsey R. in Texas. I am a recovered compulsive overeater and bulimic. and so grateful for the spirit and the recovery and the hope that's in this meeting. So I've been religious my whole life, and with that came a very immature demand for things to be a certain way. And usually that had the threat of having very little discomfort and challenges. The line that says, actually, we've had no reasonable conception whatever, is so true for me. I had to quit playing God by expecting him to show up in a certain way. It's my ego that is so demanding, right? Delusional, fearful, never satisfied, and will always, always lead me back to this illness of compulsive overeating when I play God. Pain is, unfortunately and fortunately, the only motivator for change for me. Luckily, that pain finally propelled me to surrender to a deeper degree and to take direction. It was the beginning of a spiritual experience. So this idea that faith is a firm belief in something that we trust in, and to have faith includes hoping for and believing in things that are true, even when we can't see them or completely understand them. I don't totally understand God. I have a belief in God, and I am uncovering and discovering God's reality and availability and desire to connect and fill me in parts that I could never fill on my own. But I don't understand God yet. Like, it's just this ongoing, you know, discovery. And I just love this part that it talks about how faith gives us purpose and direction, a logical idea of what life is about, stability, happiness, and usefulness. And just to be on the other side of this illness, coming back from a relapse, I feel these things. Like, for the longest time, I'd be like, all these people are just like, they must be lying. Like, this can't be real. And to have it for myself, I came in the rooms when I was 17, and it took me almost 20 years to have this level of surrender and usefulness and happiness and freedom. So truly, if it can happen for someone as stubborn and just rebellious as I am, it can happen for you. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Kelsey R. from Texas. And Jordan L., you're going to be our last person to share. Please go ahead.
Hey, good morning. Thank you for moderating for us this morning. My name is Jordan L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado, and very grateful to be on a meeting of Overeaters Anonymous and Abstinent this morning. So we who have traveled this dubious path, the dubious path being the path of regarding human intelligence higher than faith, which I relate to very much. I did grow up with religion, but the were lacking quite a bit. I saw religious people in my life that said one thing and did another. And I decided pretty early on that they were all a bunch of hypocrites, and kind of made up my mind about that. So when I came into recovery, in a 12-step recovery, and was presented with the idea that I needed to come to believe in a power greater than myself that was going to restore me to sanity. I'm very grateful that I could start at a very, very simple level. And that was just starting with where I was at as far as all of this faith business was concerned, you know. It talks about that on the next page. So, and I want to mention that for newcomers who might be or angry or intimidated or whatever about this faith business that we're talking about here. I also want to mention that after being in recovery for a little over 15 years now, I'm in a very different place. That relationship with God has progressed over the years. And now I'm very comfortable talking about a higher power, talking about God, knowing that, you know, I'm speaking about the God of my understanding, that I have a personal relationship with this higher power today, that it works daily in my own life. and so I'm a lot more open to the ideas of stability, happiness, and usefulness. I'm not sure that that's what I was seeking when I got here. I know for a fact that that's not what I was seeking when I got here. But as a result of practicing this program, that's what I seek today. I'm very comfortable in that place today.
I'm
very comfortable with this relationship. So thank you very much for letting me share. That's it.
Thank you, Jordan L. from Colorado. Thank you to everyone who shared, and thank you to our fabulous team Friday for their work in September for us. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following closing. And the share ID for today, Friday, September 27th, the 7 a.m. meeting, is 21789. Please join us for an unrecorded hour of study immediately following closing. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Anne Marie M., would you please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Yes, certainly. This is Anne Marie M., recovered compulsive overeater. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we only know a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit and will surely meet some of us. And you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you. Until then.